This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is that time of night. I'm Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Madeline June.
In the studio with us today is Brendan, as usual. Say hello, Brendan.
Hello.
Over here is Azizul. Say hello, Azizul.
Hello.
Ah, there we have a different,
voice right now.
More manly today. And joining us in the studio is the wonderful Joanna Bessie. Woo! Hello.
Hello. I'll do my high pitched voice.
How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you for having me on the show. I'm so excited to be here. Love it.
We've been talking about that. Perhaps we're on some kind of a Kopitiam run right now. We've had most of them in, you know, and it's been quite a long
ride. I think I should open a new business.
There's so much
Kopitiam stuff going on. I'm like, what? This is like free publicity.
Absolutely. It's all over Facebook right now. You guys kind of got together and had a bit of a meetup fairly recently, didn't you?
Yeah.
How did that go?
Well, it was really, really lovely because when we did that interview that came out in the Star a few days ago, actually, we did that interview a few months ago.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, and I think it's taken them a while to compile all of those different interviews with different casts from various different TV shows.
Right.
So it was really fun getting together with the cast. I actually see them all individually every once in a while. I work with some of them once in a while, you know. And like Lena and I are still best friends and we both have kids. And now Rashid has kids as well.
Right.
So we all kind of like have little play dates once in a while. But it was the first time that we were all together as a cast again, you know?
Right.
And most of us had not seen Uncle
Manu?
No. Uh-oh. Anyways, his real name is Tan Jin Cho. I'm trying to think of his character name. Oh my goodness, I've gone blank.
You're in trouble, you are.
But yeah, a lot of us had not seen him in a while, so it was so lovely to be together. And I think the whole energy and that whole vibe just instantly came back,
right?
You know, as if we were on set.
I mean, this is the thing, right? I mean, you have friends and you have colleagues that you can spend years away from, and then all of a sudden you get back together, and within minutes, you know,
those
old friendships, those old rivalries, those old jokes, they all come flooding back, right?
Yeah, we all felt. I mean, I had my 21st birthday on the set of Kopitiam.
Wow.
So, like, we all felt like, you know when you feel like you're little kids, almost. It's like going back, it's like having a school reunion.
Well, I mean, the thing is, it ran for 7 seasons, right?
Yeah.
And it wasn't just a show. I mean, this whole thing was, it was a movement. It was a way of life. Like Adeline was saying, her and her family, they'd all sit down. They'd all sit and watch it, you know.
That's the thing that's so heartwarming about the show, which I love as well, is that, you know, the whole family could sit and watch the grandparents and and everyone, the youngest members of the family, like the whole
family
spectrum.
Bonding time.
Yeah, and a lot of people tell me that. And I just love that about the show. Yeah.
Brilliant. We're going to be asking you a whole bunch more questions related to that and some other stuff, of course. I do know that you're directing a play that's out very shortly.
I am.
We'll be talking about that soon. If you want to get in touch this evening, it is 016-201-9000. If you want to take part in our competition tonight, which is
La Juiceria. So we're giving away free juices tonight, and all you have to do is just answer this question: what time does La Juiceria at the Pavilion close? Now send your name, IC number, and do tell us why you deserve to win a juice to 016-201-9000.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you got yourself a ding.
Yes.
Well done. If you want to tweet us, you can get us at BFM Radio or at BFM TTON. Coming after the break, of course, we've got a few advertisements coming up, then some Weezer, then we'll be hitting news from page 2, where I'll be talking about giant robots, and Adeline will be talking about spoiled Chinese kids. Yeah, just like that. Don't go anywhere, folks. BFM 89.9, the business station. It is that time of night. I'm Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Madeline Jung.
And I'm Joanna Bessie.
Yes, she is.
Love it.
We were just having a bit of a tease with our young intern, Azizul, just now, because he doesn't know what Kopitiam is.
What? 20.
I know, right?
He's only 20.
I know. He's getting a bit of flack, to be fair. I mean, he's the guy, to be honest. He works really hard for us right now. You know, he's doing the podcasting for us. He's doing, basically, he stalks our guests online and gives us a sheet like this.
This is all about you.
So he's listing all of these things down. We're like, can we use that? No, probably not. Can we use that? Yes, we can. So there's all kinds of stuff on there.
Oh dear.
But don't worry about it. It's all PC. It's all PC. So what we have coming up right now is this thing called News from Page 2. And what it is, we've kind of looked around the internet and seen some of the most ridiculous stories or something that's just kind of resonated a little bit with us. And we thought, you know, maybe we could talk about that and involve our guests in it. So I'm going to start off with this one. It's called, I'm going to be talking about giant robots.
What's all
all the shouting.
So, Adeline, what's all the shouting about?
Joanna Bessie!
Yay!
Woo!
Right, so I'm kind of outnumbered tonight, but, and this is a bit of a boy's story. So, Brendan, you might have to help me out here. And Aziz, you know, you might have to help me out a little bit too. So, there's these things called mechs, right? Have you heard of mechs? These giant robots, real life giant robots. A lot of Japanese movies have these giant robots working around where a man in a suit gets inside.
Like Robert Downey Jr.
Bigger.
Iron Man.
Imagine that, but like 10 times bigger or 15 times bigger. So, you've got this little tiny man inside a giant robot maneuvering it around. This is supposed to be the future and what's going to happen and how we're going to fight battles and all that kind of stuff. So, they've actually built two. The Japanese have built one.
Whoa.
And the Americans have built one. These things are huge. One is 15 foot tall and weighs 6 tons from the US. And it's called Megabot. And the other one is 12 feet tall and is equally as large, called Kurata or something like that. Mm-hmm. And they've decided, there's been this kind of challenge going backwards and forwards from one of the creators to the other saying, can my bot fight your bot?
So it's a battle.
Yeah. What was that film that Hugh Jackman was in recently where he had robots fighting?
Real Steel.
Real Steel. Have you seen that?
No.
Right. He has these like moving bots. It's mm-hmm. pretty much that. The difference is the Japanese culture have been pushing these mech bots for years and years, and it's a big part of their culture. And as much as they are behind it, they're kind of peaceful behind it. So all of their robots, big fists, that kind of stuff, and fire BB guns. Whereas the Americans, understandably, have got these ginormous weapons on them. So the Japanese are saying, we'll fight you, but it has to be hand-to-hand.
Wow.
So
the main purpose of it?
No purpose whatsoever. Absolutely no purpose.
And how much are they spending on
it? How much is it?
One of them cost, hold on a minute, let me get to it. It cost, it was a ridiculous amount of money, in the millions. In the millions.
So they're going to have a fist fight for fun. And then, like, for fun, bash each other up.
Yes.
And cause millions of dollars of worth of damage.
Right. So the first one was cost $1.35 million. Right? And that's the American one. And this has two pilots inside.
What, actually inside?
Actually inside. And the Japanese one only has one. So you've got one little...
It's like one of the movie Pacific something?
Pacific Rim. Pacific it's exactly Rim. Like Pacific
oh
Rim. Yes,
God.
Except on a much smaller scale. Only 12 foot and 15 foot rather than, you know, 400 foot or whatever it is. I just thought it was a fun story. It's completely pointless. It's going to cost a lot of money and it's going to get loads and loads and loads of people watching it on TV. No doubt.
On TV?
Absolutely.
Oh, they're going to make it into a whole...
Yeah,
like, it's going to be like ringside seats.
Can you imagine then? Pay-per-view, you know?
Oh.
We don't see men bashing their heads in or women bashing their heads anymore. It's going to be robots.
So do people need to pay to watch
I'd
live?
Imagine so. But then, you know, we don't have to feel guilty. Violence can be kind of moved to the side somewhat. Right? No? Yeah? No? Okay. Adeline, what do you have?
About spoiled Chinese kids.
Chinese kids.
Yeah, so American family from Southern California, they said that they earn $1,500 per month for every student they host. Now, initially, the family did it because they found the task lucrative. But
$1,500, yeah.
Yes, but see, after hosting about 10 students from China over the course of 4 years, they've decided that, you know, it's not worth it. Because the family described the Chinese youth... they call them little kings.
Little emperors as well.
And accuse them for poor habits like, you know, including not washing their own dishes after eating, not cleaning up after they make a mess, not paying attention to their food when cooking, and being rude to guests.
Isn't that any teenager?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's not just Chinese kids.
Right, right. So this is the whole thing then. They're basically complaining because these wealthy Chinese kids are not looking after themselves.
Yeah, and then they say that, you know, students from mainland China, they spend money like water.
They do.
Yeah, they do, but that's the point. That's not the point, you see?
Well, okay.
So, I mean, if your family may be rich, your family may be rich, you know,
right.
But doesn't mean you have to, like, stereotype or, like, you know, you gotta, like, make... I mean...
Yeah, go on, have a runner. Have a runner. Take your time. Take your time.
I want to say not all Chinese kids are spoiled. Okay.
Not all, right?
Not all.
You're
not
a spoiled kid, of course, at all.
Obviously not.
You've never been spoiled, right?
No.
No.
I wash my dishes.
Yes, you do.
I clean after I eat.
Yes, you do. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're very, very good like that. Right, but no, seriously. Very good like that. Yeah, she's very tidy. Like, fastidiously so. She's like, you know...
OCD.
She's like, have you done your dishes? Don't forget to put that food away. And it's like, don't forget to wipe the top. Good. I mean, this is good. This is
good.
Do
you want cockroach?
Absolutely not. I am not complaining. I am saying how good it is.
I think we should send you to the US and you can train all these kids as they come in.
Well, if I get paid, I don't mind.
Oh, $1,500 a month? Not a bad little wage.
Not a bad wage.
But I mean, to be fair, I mean, there is even complaints in China about these little emperors. You know, these are kids that have been raised with parents who, for the first time, are part of the middle class. So they have money for the first time.
Yes, I think in Chinese, Brendan, they call it Xiu Ye Zai, right?
Yeah.
They call it what?
Xiu Ye Zai.
All right, okay, yeah. So it makes sense.
Because it's within this generation, it's new for them. That nouveau riche kind of syndrome where you just want to splurge on everything.
That's right. See, before it would be like when the kids grew up, they would look after their parents and their grandparents and whatever. Yeah. That's not happening anymore.
Well, I mean, as a student not only Chinese student. I mean, as a student, you do not have the power of earning, but you do not know. You don't have the power of earning, but you want to splurge that kind of money.
Right.
Your parents' money.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and they do. You know, BMWs and Ferraris and you know.
Did you watch the video? There was a video about this Chinese student. They have tons and tons of money buying Lamborghinis, Ferraris.
Wow.
Well, to be fair, if you had that money or I had that money, maybe we'd do the same.
No.
Okay, Fran. Okay, that was news from page two.
What's all the shouting?
No. Okay, we have Joanna Bessie, of course, in the studio with us today.
So,
moving on from Chinese emperors and massive robots, you've got
one of my students, I just started my new semester of acting class.
Go on.
And one of my students, they all introduce themselves, you know, and we all get to know each other sort of thing. And he says, he's doing three things. He's studying three things. And one of them is Android development.
What?
Yeah.
The software Android.
So maybe, you know, he might make a Malaysian megabot.
Oh my word.
We can have a battle.
Right. So you're directing this play called Love Journey. Nation of Two. Tell me about this.
This is a comedy about faith and love and how we define faith.
Because there's quite a cast as well.
Yes, yes. So it sounds like a very serious subject, but it is a comedy, I promise.
comedies. Co-written with Naa Murad.
Yes, co-written with Naa Murad. Basically, I got a grant from JKKN.
Right.
Jabatan Kebudayaan Ayaan dan Kesenian Negara.
Well done.
Yes, sir. And based to write it and then to stage it. So I'm extremely lucky, you know, and we're trying to make a small amount of money go really far. And we're trying to do something a bit more experimental. Mm. We're in a more like fringe sort of theatre space, something that's within the budget and something where when the audience walk in, they're going to have a very different type of theatre experience, I'd say.
I'm trying to imagine it in my head because I don't want you to give too much away, obviously. But can you tell us a bit more?
it's a non-linear storytelling.
Right, right.
We're going to be, and it's about 75 minutes long. And then after the intermission, we're going to have like a discussion with the audience. And they can tell me, you know, Joanna, that was just awful. I don't understand a thing of what that was all about. But this is like my first proper quote-unquote play that I've written.
Right.
Which is why I needed someone who was a much better playwright than me, like Naa Murad, to help me.
Right, right.
Because up until now, I've only written like sketch comedy and more like, you know, non-sort of serious stuff. So this is, you know, something that I really believe in, and it's not often that usually you get hired as an actor or as a director and you just have to do, you know, bring your artistic direction towards something that you've been hired to do, whereas this is a lovely rare opportunity where I get to do something that I've chosen, that I've written, that I've sort of like imagined and created. And I think it's basically about relationships. It's about how we feel about our belief systems and our concepts of faith and how those got challenged when it comes to relationships and love and marriage. Things, you know, like I think most Malaysians, for example, probably know a friend or two or more who would have gotten married to someone had it not been for differences in race, religion, culture, families. Sometimes they're even, you know, let's say both Christian, but they're from different types of churches. Even those connections don't work out. And I find this whole subject fascinating because my parents' generation, most of them got married.
And they're all asking me now, like, why are you all not getting married?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
this current generation yeah. or my generation and the younger ones. So many unmarried people nowadays,
yeah, yeah.
you know, and I just find the whole subject really fascinating and funny. It's hilarious.
Right. I do, in fact, find it funny as well because I grew up in England and where religion is something that's just not many people talk about it, not many people do it. And then I moved to China where religion is non-existent, pretty
right,
much.
Okay.
And then I come here and it's like the complete opposite of the spectrum. You know, there's religion, football as a religion, for one,
yes.
which for me was just mind-blowing, you know. These really difficult relationships that people have to go through, and you think to yourself, they must find a way of getting around this in a way that's not as complicated as everybody thinks it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Because a lot of these relationships seem really complicated, but perhaps they're not. I don't know.
Yeah, and that's what we're sort of examining and exploring, and I'm kind of raising the question, like, do young couples nowadays have to sort of become a nation of two, a nation unto themselves with
right.
their own set of rules
yeah.
and regulations and so forth that doesn't need to be influenced so much by family pressure, by culture,
yeah,
by
but usually
you know
parents,
even law sometimes.
Yeah,
usually parents are the one that is, you know, they always have a say in terms
yeah.
of their kids' relationships, right?
Mm. But mainly in Malaysia though.
Yes. Agreed.
Because I'm half English, so I've grown up a lot in the UK as well.
Yay!
Yeah.
You don't know how nice that sounds.
I studied in the States. I lived and worked there for
yeah.
a while as well. So, like, you know, kind of looking from that point of view, the Western perspective,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether or not if your parents disagree or whatever, a lot of young people will just go ahead and do what they want.
Right.
You know, and they don't have to live with them. They don't have to, you know, their parents might disown them it's not as bad as it would be here. Here, the repercussions of being disowned
massive.
And
yeah.
it's huge. And people still like to live together in the same house or near each other. And I think the family bond is really, really strong.
Yeah.
Not that that's a bad thing. I think that's a really healthy thing. But sometimes at the, you know, the sacrifice of personal happiness,
mm-hmm.
I find. And not just one or two of my friends or family members, but many actually,
yeah.
you know.
Okay, we're going to take a very short break. We'll be back right after these messages with Joanna Bessie, of course. We've also got Smarty Pants coming up very shortly. Joanna, you know what that is?
Yes, of course I know what that is.
Competitive? Are you competitive?
Yes.
Great. Here we go. A little bit of Oasis. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is that time of night. I'm Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Madeline June.
And I'm Joanna Bessie.
I'm Joanna Bessie.
There she is.
Can't do my Joe Hasher voice. Cannot do it.
Try again.
I'm Joanna Bessie.
Right.
Keep that, Daddy.
Okay, nah. Okay, folks, if you want to get in touch to take part in the competition tonight, we are giving away some free juice. It's very healthy.
Very.
016-201-9000. That's the number you need to send an SMS to take part in this competition.
So if you want to win free juices, all you have to do is just answer this question. What time does La Juiceria at the Pavilion close? Now, send your name, IC number, and do tell us why you deserve to win a free juice. 2016-201-9000. Thanks, Richard.
You're very welcome. You can also tweet us at BFMTTON or at BFM Radio. Okay, thank you very much. Joanna, so we've had a lovely little chat during the break, of course. I was just catching up on old things and then seeing how things are going.
Talking about your girlfriend.
We were.
Okay, anyway.
We're talking about marriage.
We're talking about who in this studio is married.
Right.
You know.
None.
Right.
That's a problem, right?
That's odd. At least my mum would say I think it's weird.
Mm-hmm. Right, so we've got a few minutes before we dive into the quiz, but there's a few things that I wanted to ask you about. You were born in England, right?
Yeah.
So how in the heck did you end up in Malaysia acting in one of the most popular TV shows of the 90s?
Doesn't that sound like a regular career move? my mum is Malaysian. My mum's Malay. My dad's English. I was born in England, but I did grow up some of my childhood in Malaysia.
Right.
But when I was 10, I went back to the UK. I was studying. I grew up mostly there. And then I was studying acting in LA.
Mm-hmm.
And
as you do.
Of course. Yeah. Because I was going to be a serious actor. I really took myself very seriously. I thought I was very artistic and, you know, like I was going to change the world with this cathartic art of acting and all this. And then, I was sorely disappointed. Oh. But I came back here, you know, to spend time with my family on holiday. And I ended up, my mum was like, oh, there's this play, go and audition for it. And I went and auditioned. And then, like, within 3 months, I'd done a TV movie and I had auditioned for Kopitiam. And then we started shooting the pilot.
Wow. Mm.
So, you know, I came back supposedly on holiday and then the show went on for like 7 seasons.
And so these skills that you learned in LA, did they translate into KL? You
know? Well, they did, except for, you know, I was often asked to do all this very, what I considered to be extremely over the top acting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the director said, no, do more. I want you to cry. I want you to do that. I was like, no, this is horrible. It was like torture. You know, you just come from LA. You're really organized.
You're doing like Stanislavski and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I'm absolutely Stanislavski based. I'm like, what? You know, and at the end of the day, you're just an actor. You have to give in. Right. And hence, you see all the great work, the fantastic body of work that you can now watch on iFlix.
Absolutely.
But do you have plans to actually revive Kopitiam back again, you know, despite, you know, Azizul, he's 20 right now. He don't even know what Kopitiam is.
No, thanks. I feel really young now. I'd love to, and we get asked this question a lot, actually. I still get asked this question because people love it.
I would actually watch it every day.
Maybe. Well, the thing is that the cast, we don't own the rights. So the production company owns all the rights and everything. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of waiting on their cue. And if they can organize to get, you know, us group of rebellious actor types together. And,
I mean, for heck's sake, if they've listened to the show over the past couple of months, you know, they should understand. Anyway, we have
maybe
to
I should make my own brand of Kopitiam.
I think you should.
And call
should.
It like coffee shop.
Right, it's come to that time of night where we have to play this game.
Smarty pants.
3 minutes to answer as many questions as you possibly can.
Oh, pressure.
If you don't know the answer, say skip. You will get dinged if you get it right. You will get buzzed if you get it wrong, right?
Okay.
Don't pause too long on a question or an answer.
Oh, no.
That's the trick. Are you ready?
Okay.
Your 3 minutes start now. How many incisors do adult humans normally have?
4.
Oh. What's the name of Bill Gates' wife?
No idea. Pass.
How do you spell...
Skip.
How do you spell broccoli?
B-R-O-C-C-O-L-I.
Originally, how long did a quarantine period last?
40 days.
In the Incredibles cartoon movie, how many children does Elastigirl have?
2. What? Oh, 3. There's the baby.
Ah. Moving on. Marzipan is made from hazelnuts. True or false?
False.
Which country is the zloty the currency of?
Czechoslovakia.
A podiatrist works on which part of the human body?
The knees, the back.
Which animal?
I'm not sure.
Which animal is known as the river horse?
A beaver.
Oh, you're going to kick yourself for that one.
Pressure.
What color is the bird on the Twitter website logo?
Blue.
What is the name of a ghost or other supernatural being which is supposedly responsible for physical disturbances such as creating disorder and noise?
Succubus? What? Poltergeist.
Correct. Which actor who played Tony Soprano on the US television series The Sopranos died in June 2013?
The guy who played Tony Soprano.
That's right. What's his name?
Something Italian.
Yes. Can you give me half a name?
That's
nearly. Okay, so what does the bow in bow tee stand for? The B-O-H.
Well, it stands for something.
It does. See, you're not the first person to say
what?
That today.
Yeah. What? Berry... Nah. Organic. Nah. No, okay, I'll pass. Skip.
We'll let you know in a minute. Who designed the Malaysian flag?
Some really cool dude.
That's right. Which Asian country was formerly known as Formosa?
It's a country, but skip.
What's the name of Captain Hook's boat in the children's novel Peter Pan?
The ship.
He's a pirate, remember?
Captain Hook's ship.
The Philippines lie in which ocean?
The Southeast Asian Ocean.
which two...
South China Sea.
No. Two numbers on a phone keypad have no letters?
What? Say that again.
Which two numbers on a phone keypad have no letters?
1 and 0.
Zagreb is the capital of which European country?
Zagreb. Skib.
I got trigger happy. All right. In which Shakespeare play does the character Mustard Seed appear?
I know this.
You were very close just then.
Yeah.
I was very close just then. Mm-hmm. As you like it.
Oh, no.
Which
substance... Final question. Which substance makes bread rise?
Yeast.
Correct. Joanna Bessie, we'll be right back after these messages to find out how well you did. Don't go anywhere, folks. It is that time of night here on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, the business station. I'm Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Madeline Jones.
Come on, then.
And I'm Joanna Bessie.
There we go. Right. So if you're just joining us, folks, that, of course, is Joanna Bessie. We've had a few entries into the competition this evening. If you wanted to win some juice, we've got a couple of entries. We might ask for some more. You've got like 9 minutes if you want to keep your entries coming in. 016-201-9000. Answer this question.
What time does La Juiceria at the Pavilion close? Now send your name, IC number, and tell us why you deserve to win a juice to 016-201-9000.
Of course, just a few moments ago, we were testing Joanna's metal on Smarty Pants. So, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go through a few questions just to see how well you did.
Oh, dear.
Come on, Adeline.
Major fail.
Which country is a zloty the currency of? Poland. Which animal is known as the river horse? Hippopotamus. Ah! What does the bo in the boti stand for? Best of Highlands. The Philippines lie in which ocean? Pacific. In which Shakespeare play does the character Mustard Seed appear? A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Yes. Actually, that came out in my mind.
It did.
You
went and then stopped.
Oh, how weird. See, right. The pressure. I can't take the pressure.
Right. Right then, let's have a drum roll.
Ladies and gentlemen, Joanna Bessie scored 7 points.
Yay. Is that good or bad?
It's good. It's okay.
Below average, I can tell.
Do you want to say that?
No, because for the longest time, 7 was the benchmark. Right?
Oh.
And then people started just going over it, and Adeline would say to our guests, it's okay, you're above average. And you'd be like, I think you could probably phrase that a little better. You know? Anyway, as you know, we have 2 minutes left of the show. Joanna, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Where can we see Love Journey, A Nation of Two?
Well, we're going to be staging it in Kota Damansara in the Black Box Theatre at Infinity Academy. You can get tickets by emailing lovejourneytix@gmail.com.
Okay.
Or you can go online and buy at eventbrite.com.
What we'll do also, we'll put a link on our Facebook page as well so people can find it.
I love you guys.
It.
Awesome.
All that kind of stuff.
I'm inviting all of you guys
Brilliant.
Here.
So
please come and watch.
I'm sure it will be wonderful.
It's going to be very relevant to your lives.
No idea what you're talking about. Very quickly to wrap up, we've got some facts to deliver. Adeline, what do you have?
It would take 11 Empire State Buildings stacked one on top of the other to measure the Gulf of Mexico at its deepest point.
Right. 11?
11.
Okay.
Wow.
I've got an animal fact.
Oh!
Yeah.
I don't have an animal fact for you.
You don't. But in the first year of their life, baby blue whales gain 200 pounds, 91 kilos, every day.
No way.
Every day.
That's a lot.
What do they eat?
I have no idea. Yeah. Krill, right? They eat krill. That's what they. So it's like it's like two of you, Adeline, every day.
Thanks.
Did I give away your weight? Oh, I did.
Thanks.
Anyway, folks, thank you very much for tuning in. Joanna Bessie, please do come back.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Good luck with everything.
Thank you. Come and see my play. Come
absolutely.
And see my play. Can I plug it again?
Of course you can.
Love Journey, A Nation of Two. A comedy of faith, defining love.
Brilliant.
25th of July to the 2nd of August.
Can I find love after watching that?
Yes, absolutely.
So folks, there's a Q&A session as for
the. There's going to be a Q&A. I mean, there's going to be a Q&A session and a whole discussion. And
oh, really?
You can say what you like at, after the play. Yeah, the play's only about 75 minutes. So after intermission, we shall discuss.
Maybe we shall,
I'd love to invite BFM to come and join the discussion.
That could be very interesting. Folks, we'll be back same time, same place as ever. From Deepest Darkest, Banda Atama. This has been That Time of Night. Stay tuned for a bit of culture with Sherrod Kutton. See you later.
Good night.
With Cam Raslan. I got it wrong. Good night, folks. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.